2221222. Scream if you want to go faster.
I was in the National Concert Hall taking a few pics. And
oh yeah,
the guys were setting up for a show that night. So they had the mic and your man was like, two. I was like, someone record this. And I was trying to do my bit into the camera, like, guys, guess what? I have a show on the 3rd of December. And all you could hear in the microphone, 2-2-2-2-1-1. Like, I'm just trying to record a 15-second video.
Oh, my God. You should have gone up and given him a piece of paper and gone, read that, will you? Georgie Crawford brings the good glow back to the National Concert Hall. 3 December.
Shall we do it?
Right, I'll do it. Let's do it. This season of Soul Sisters is brought to you by Colgate Max White Ultra, a toothpaste which delivers whitening results in just 3 days. Colgate Max White Ultra is unlike regular whitening toothpastes, as it lifts deep stains beyond the enamel surface. Even better, it not only removes surface stains, but prevents future stains too. Colgate Max White Ultra helps people to embrace their individuality so they can have the power to shine and be true to themselves. Get it now, lads. Get it now. Buy it in Dunnes, and it's available in all other major Irish retailers, subject to availability.
Are you, Claire? You've returned.
Hello there. I'm back in London town, and I tell you, it's been an assault on the senses.
Yeah. So you obviously went from like a yoga retreat for a full week to coming back into London. Like, what was your immediate thought when you saw the madness of London?
Oh no, that's what I thought. I just literally wanted to say to, by the way, I was flying EasyJet and we had the chattiest pilot. Isn't there something so sexy about a chatty pilot?
I find it comforting.
Do you? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Puts your mind at ease. Well, this guy, like, there's something like, he's flying the plane, obviously. He's getting us to our destination. And then he comes on the mic like an absolute pro, no 2-2-2-2-2, but actual good jokes about really mundane things. Like, so he was like, listen to the safety demonstration, guys. It's only a couple of minutes. And don't worry, there's no exam at the end. You know?
Very funny. He sounds like your type of guy.
That's exactly what I thought. Craning my neck from seat 8A. Every time the door opened, the EasyJet girls stood in front of it.
Oh, right.
Did you ever see that before?
No.
So yeah, anytime the cockpit door opened, of course, I was like this, meerkatting, and not the girl stood in front of it like they knew. I was trying to stalk him.
Did you get eyes on him in the end?
I didn't actually, no. No, I didn't. But I did walk very slowly off the plane so that he could look out the window and remember my face for the next time.
Oh, that's great.
Every situation is an opportunity, Georgina.
So, come here. How was your week?
Listen. I had the most amazing week in Portugal. So I was in the Western Algarve with Sarah Shannon for a wild and free retreat. And so the essence of a wild and free retreat is that you bring your wild woman out. And so we were in this place called the Montevelo Eco Resort Retreat Center. And so it's not down by the coast. It's sort of back in the hills a bit. And it's just one of the most beautiful places that you could possibly spend a week. Gorgeous vegetarian food, yoga every morning, meditation, journaling, full moon, new moon. We did a new moon ceremony. We set intentions. We were manifesting. It was heavenly.
Wow. You're even like speaking like a yogi. You're like speaking a little bit slower. Mm-hmm. You look a little bit more namaste.
Yeah, a little bit softer. Even though the wild woman is out, I feel a little bit more namaste.
Is there a moment in the retreat where you connect with your wild woman and have to do whatever you're feeling?
Yes. So that
what did you do?
So we did. So there was we worked our way up to this wild woman moment. So there was 17 of us, right? And there were, most of us were from Ireland, absolute legends from Ireland, like Celtic women. And then there was two incredible women from the States, one Holly from Nebraska and Hallie from New York. And then Katrina came from Australia and Olga came from Austria. So you can imagine what it would be like for those girls joining a big bunch of Irish women. It was just like, it was amazing. It was such a melting pot. But so Sarah curated the retreat so that you would have equal parts workshops and yoga and then equal parts free time. So you could go down to the beach and go for a swim. You could connect with each other. So everything is kind of preparing you for the crescendo that is the cacao ceremony. So have you ever done a cacao ceremony before?
I've definitely been sat down and given cacao, but I haven't done the actual ceremony.
Mm. So neither had I. This was my first time. And Sarah is has done a qualification to become a master of ceremonies for the cacao. So she was able to take us through this ritual because it's plant medicine is what they call it. And it comes from South America. And it's prepared in a very special way with lots of ingredients depending on how you want your cacao to taste. So we went through all of this. You can find more info on this actually on YouTube if you're interested in looking into cacao ceremonies. But basically you sit around in a circle and there's a little altar in the center with lots of crystals and candles and incense, and we're each given a cup, and you hold the cup to your heart and you make some intentions. And then we all went off in separate directions and sat with the cacao, sipping it, journaling. And then we came back and we all had a sharing moment around the circle of how we felt and how much the week had changed all of us. And like there was tears, there was laughter, there was smiles and so much joy. And then we headed inside into our lovely, what they call the shala, which is a big wooden round building where you could do where we did our yoga every morning. And Sarah, who was also a DJ, by the way.
So cool.
Literally. Gets a playlist together of some of the most incredible songs. So we went in and basically celebrated our feminine energy with like the most amazing songs. Everybody was in beautiful flowing dresses. We'd put on face paints and it was just electric. The vibes were so high and I don't think I've ever experienced anything like it before.
Wow. Oh my God, that sounds incredible. I'm definitely coming with you next time.
I would implore every, it feels at this point, looking back, like a rite of passage, you know, like into womanhood, because we spend so much time in our lives dampening down our lights a little bit. We talk about this all the time, you know, to fit into certain boxes or systems or dynamics in our life. And this was just an opportunity to bring yourself to the party, like all aspects of you, and embrace your femininity, your inner goddess. We also did yin yoga, which is really slow and deliberate yoga. Like you stay in poses for 3 to 5 minutes. And Niamh has moved to Portugal, just like Sarah, to start a new life. Like she's from Carlow.
Would you do that, Claire?
Would I? Hell, I would. Yeah. Having been out there and seen the way that they live their life, seeing the other side of things, you know, when you leave the rat race, when you get off the merry-go-round and you take time out and you really integrate into another country or situation, you just sit back, Georgie, and you're like, I have been sipping on the Kool-Aid for far too long.
I've never asked you this actually before. So London is a kind of temporary home for you, do you think?
London is my base. There's no doubt about it. This will be my base. But as a European person, I'm not spending enough time in Europe. So my ambition would be down the line to work remotely, stay in Portugal for 3 months, stay in France for 3 months. You know, this kind of lifestyle is what I seek.
Wow. You go and you live that dream.
So yes, it is amazing. Sarah has some more retreats, one in September, one in October. And girlos, I cannot give, like 6 stars is what I give it.
Incredible, incredible. And will you be going back? I know you're on a digital detox, but will you go back this week and share some photos or things from it on your Instagram?
I definitely will. And so will Sarah. So Sarah Shannon Yoga is where you'll see all the vids, because Niamh was taking loads of background videos and pictures. I'll end on this. This is how much I got into the digital detox. Me and three of the girls were heading towards the airport on Saturday, and we stopped at a little place called Burgau on the Algarve. And I just got that feeling in my tummy. I have not seen my mobile in a few minutes. I'd left my phone at the retreat center.
So what did you do?
Oh, listen. Thankfully, there was some fellow wild women making their way towards the airport too. So we stayed in Burgau and they came to meet us and they did the handover.
Oh, good.
But I was kind of proud of myself.
That's amazing. I thought when you said you were going looking for it, you were going to say you haven't seen it in a few days. I was like, that is unrelatable.
So now, while I was whiling away the time with the wild women, what were you up to?
Well, I was flat to the mat here, Claire, holding down the fort, meeting all the soul sisters. So I had a huge aha moment over the last 3 months. So last year, remember when I said that I wanted to put all of my energy into writing my book, and I had all of these work projects. So I cancelled my show at the National Concert Hall. I cancelled a season of The Good Glow because I wanted to put everything into writing my book. And now the feedback that I'm getting from the book, we're 3 weeks at the top of the bestsellers list. Wow. I'm getting pictures of the book in like Sydney, the US, Canada, like all around the world. So that's the payoff for me in terms of, you know, I'm really proud of it. And I'm so glad I let the world fall down so that I could write it. Mm. So this week we announced the show that we were supposed to do last year. We came up with the idea of this show like at the start of 2022. So it's called Joy to Your World. Mm-hmm. And it's based basically myself and Jamie used to go to London to the Royal Albert Hall at the start of every December to watch a Christmas show. And it got us in the humor for Christmas. Like it got us excited at the start of December. Because you know the way sometimes it's Christmas Day and you're like, Jesus, I can't believe it's Christmas. It doesn't feel like Christmas. So we used to do that at the start of December just to get really excited for Christmas. So last year we said, imagine if we could create one in Dublin where we have like loads of really amazing Christmas music, but then slot in the Good Glow bits, like the inspiring talks, the brilliant guests, the video content. So anyway, it's going ahead this year, 3rd of December, Sunday at 5 o'clock. But something struck me this week. So last year when I was telling the team and everyone who was working on the show that I didn't want to do it. Now, we hadn't announced it to the public yet, but I was so scared to tell everybody because I felt like I was letting everyone down. I was in the shower when I made the decision and I never forget stepping out of the shower and going, Jamie, I don't want to do the show. I don't want to announce it. We were announcing it the next day. And Jamie was like, you know, he's so looking forward in the business and like, you know, blue sky thinking. He was like, Geordie, what the hell? Like, we have to do it. It's, you know, it's a done deal. But I knew in my heart, I knew that I didn't have a show in me. So I remember going to my mom's house and like crying and being like, oh my God, mom, am I making the right decision? She was like, you know, in your heart, what the right decision is, and you need to connect with that and you need to stick with that. So, you know, that moment in the Jerry Maguire film where he's like making that huge fuss in the office and it's like pure silence and he's getting the fish out and he's like making this huge scene and everyone's like, this person has lost their mind. I felt like that purely because an hour after I made this big, you know, drop the truth bomb about the show, there was chaos for an hour. And then just like in the Jerry Maguire movie, when he walks out the office door, 1 second later, everyone just went back to work and carried on with their lives. Yet I was, and that's exactly what happened in The Good Glow. We all just went back to work an hour later and just diverted, pivoted. But I was willing to suffer for 4 months from September to December. I was willing to work, you know, harder, longer, put myself under more stress, probably have sleepless nights just because I didn't want to upset anyone. But actually, I caused an upset for an hour and then we all went back to normal. So the huge lesson in that for me is if something doesn't feel right for you, you have to articulate it. You have to say it because it's never as much of a big deal as you think it's going to be.
Yeah.
So here I am a year later doing the same show in a much better place. I feel really creative around the show. I have so much more to say and it all just makes sense. So trust the timing of your life.
Oh, wow. I hope you tell that story on stage.
I actually told it yesterday.
Did you?
Yeah, because I was in a group. I was in a room full of 300 women. And I was like, how many of us put ourselves through this shite? You know what I mean? For the greater good of everyone else.
Yes. Yes. Do you know that message actually came through at the retreat as well?
Did it?
Yeah, because there was mums there. There was a few girls working in like quite serious jobs, and as the time passed and we were putting our energy into ourselves and things that created peace of mind and happiness, you could see the pennies dropping. How much time we spend with other people's priorities leading the way.
To be honest, that's the whole point of the first step in my book is like to quit people pleasing, because I wanted to avoid having problems my whole life. And then that night that I found out my cancer hadn't spread, Tony Robbins said, your biggest problem is you think you shouldn't have them, because actually problems make us grow. And for those 32 years of my life, I was avoiding having problems. That's why I was a people pleaser. I was like, yes, sir, no, sir, what more can I do? And the only person that was suffering was me, because in that way, I wasn't growing because I was tippy-toeing around life. Yes. And I wasn't making anything uncomfortable for me or for anybody else in my life. Mm-hmm. So actually, problems help you grow. And that's, you know, in turn, how I quit people pleasing, because I could see actually the only person suffering was me. So I'm in this space now where I think I've written so much in my book and I'm ready to kind of learn more things. So I was quite interested in that kind of show dynamic and how I feel 1 year later. And what's meant for you will not pass you by. Like, this is the year of joy to your world. It wasn't for me last year.
Exactly. And you know what? I feel it. I can see you, but I can feel in your energy that you will actually bring joy to our world and your own world through this show. Mm. And you wouldn't have had that in you, as you said last year. So good work, Georgie.
I didn't have the joy last year. Now, I was happy and I was functioning and I was getting through. But, you know, like everything that happened with Ukraine, it was so difficult for us. I wasn't feeling as joyful last year as I feel in 2023. Like 2023 is special for me. And hopefully we'll be home with our little baby by that time.
Oh, my God.
Can you believe it?
Well, look, if you need anyone to look after that baby backstage, Auntie Soul Sister is right here for you.
Oh, Claire, you have to come home for the show. Please,
yeah,
please,
of course,
please.
I will.
Okay, brilliant.
And do you mind if I call you Christmas Crawford from now on?
No, that's an absolutely. I'm cutting this out of the podcast. So, Christmas with the Crawfords. No.
Right. No, no more C words then until September.
Off the back of that saucy conversation we had last week. I love when we're talking about like aubergines or sauciness, we're actually talking about aubergines or sauciness. Like the real aubergines.
There's no innuendo around here, lads.
No, there isn't. And not one bit. Okay, so I got the most incredible, I've been dying to read out this text to you, Claire.
About the sauces.
Yeah.
Did you get a DM about the sauces?
Yeah, I got a DM from someone who works in sauciness.
Not Niamh from Ballymaloe Foods by any chance, is it?
What? Are you joking? Did she contact you too?
She contacted me.
Oh, Niamh. Niamh's double dipping us. Niamh. I thought I was special. Okay, so I'm going to read out my text from Niamh, okay, real quick. Hi, Georgie. Niamh from Ballymaloe Foods here. When I saw that, I was like, oh, God, what did we do? I love the Soul Sisters podcast. Got very excited on Tuesday when Claire introduced the topic of sauces. Sure enough, I wasn't disappointed when you gave me a shout out to our famous Ballymaloe relish. But then I was disappointed to hear that you didn't think it was in the same league as pesto or hummus. They were Claire's words. Niamh, not mine. We'd love to send you a selection of our relishes to see if we can change your mind. I think our pepper relish or fiery relish will take your tortillas to the next level while listening to the Gypsy Kings. Let me know if you would like us to send you some sauces and I can arrange that next week. Love the show. Actually, bought a tube of Colgate Max White Ultra a few weeks ago. Have a great weekend. Thanks. From Niamh.
Oh, well then, I mean, if she's on board with teeth whitening, send the sauces through.
I really like the sound of fiery relish.
Yum.
Go on, tell us, what did she say to you?
Pretty much the same thing. She was disappointed in me that I'd said that I didn't think Ballymaloe relish was top tier saucing. And so I ate a lot of humble pie covered in sauce. And I said, Niamh, you're right. You know, Ballymaloe is an absolute classic. And I would love you to send me some fiery sauce.
So we roll out the red carpet for Ballymaloe in our house at Christmas.
Do you? Okay, yes.
You wouldn't find now on Stephen's Day a bottle of ketchup on, you know, the way you have to make people sausages at Christmas. My sister-in-law Kira slags me so much because I was like, oh, like I'd have a sausage at Christmas. Now, this was 3 years ago. I wouldn't have a sausage anymore. But again, no innuendo there either. It's an actual sausage at Christmas. So I, you know, the way you have to like make fries for people at Christmas. Mm. So we would have, if people were staying in our house at Christmas, only Ballymaloe on the table at Christmas time. Right. What about you guys? There'd be no ketchup.
Yeah, mum is a massive advocate of the Ballymaloe. But, you know, as we are the saucy Solans, that also probably be mayo, tomato, ketchup and
brown sauce.
no, we're not brown. We'll draw the line of brown sauce.
Why? What do you have against brown sauce, Claire?
Too British.
Yeah, is there a lot of that over there?
Oh, they love the brown sauce over here. Oh, listen.
What is it?
It's the same as red sauce. It's like brown or red, brown or red.
Okay, so we're just sending out a formal apology to Ballymaloe. I would prefer Ballymaloe over a pesto.
Yeah, I mean, look, if it was my last meal on earth, I probably would go with the Ballymaloe.
Do you know what I was thinking about Ballymaloe? If they brought us down to do that little cookery course for a week.
I think it's quite a big cookery course, but yeah, absolutely.
Oh, you can't do like a little day version?
You probably can, actually. You probably can.
Because James Kavanagh did it and then he jumped in the sea every day after his cooking lessons. Like I can't go for 3 months to Ballymaloe, but I'd go for like 1 day, 2 days, or maybe 3 days with you, Claire.
So maybe three. Yes, let's do it. Let's do it. Yay!
Oh, you could host the cooking. You could get share your cauliflower cheese recipe. What was it again?
Oh, so this came
on, tell us.
This came up on the retreat. There was a soul sister called Aideen on the retreat, and Aideen made sure to mention it when we had cauliflower in Portugal. She said, "Claire, what was your cauliflower cheese again? Get a cauliflower, put cheese on top of it, stick it in the oven." And I said, "That's it, Aideen. Simple as that." Now, before I headed off on my retreat to Portugal, something really interesting happened. I usually talk to my parents together on the phone, right? So mum will put it on her mobile on speaker and then I'll talk to the two of them. And I don't know if it's quite challenging because you don't actually get a proper chat with either of them.
Yeah, it's like small talk.
It is kind of small talk. And we do end up just talking about football or what's in the news or what everyone else is doing. So for some reason, I can't remember why, just before I went on retreat, I ended up talking to both of my parents separately because I rang mum, dad wasn't around, had a really good chat with mum. Mum's obviously a soul sister, so we can get deep about the spirituality stuff. Dad is not a soul sister, so we can talk about DIY, me gaff
and Dave
and maybe Dave. Yeah. So anyway, I had a lovely, lovely chat with my parents, both separately. And then at the end of my chat with my dad, as he always kind of does when we talk separately, he says, "And what are you up to now? What are you doing? And gee, you never know who you might meet." So cute.
What's wrong?
This is kind of taking me by surprise. My dad and I didn't always have a great relationship. So it's really special to be able to have a conversation with him on the phone and laugh and joke and, you know, for him to be really behind me.
He is a soul sister.
Maybe he is a soul sister. So after the conversation with him, I sat down in my meditation the next day and I was just tuning out as I always do, just sitting there waiting for messages to drop in. And sure enough, a message dropped in from the heavens that said, "Oh, geez, I'm gone now. So prepare yourselves. I may keep crying all the way through this, but..." It was basically all of the men that you have journeyed with in your life, friends, foes, colleagues, romantic partners, mentors, all of them. Speak to them in this meditation and make peace with them and move on. So I was like, whoa, this feels like a big assignment for me. So I sat there and I literally went chronologically through the men of my life. So I would literally say, "Hi, X. I hope you're doing well." And I would talk about something that maybe they had done or something that I had done. Maybe talk about the way things had ended. And then I would say, I wish you well. I wish you love. And then I
goodbye.
Moved. I moved. Yeah. Moved on through them. So I must have done like 20, probably 20 men, I'd say. And after it, I felt so good. I felt elated. You know, I was like, wow, like that's the biggest line I've ever drawn under like my relationships or lack thereof with men. So I decided to go for a walk in nature because like, what else would you do after something like that? So I skipped off to the park and I was walking through the park. Actually, I went for a run is what I did. I went for a run and I was like Phoebe and Friends, pegging it around the park. And I get to one part of Tooting Common and I'm going under a bridge and I see a guy who I had forgotten to make peace with in my meditation.
Stop.
Walking a dog with another guy.
What? And what was your relationship with this man?
So this guy, me and him were like buddies. We were just friends. And it's not that we've ever fell out. We just drifted. We were quite friendly for a couple of years. And then we just drifted and haven't seen each other for like 2 years. And I ran past him. And I was absolutely flabbergasted. Isn't that mad?
It's so funny.
Wild.
I wonder what it means. Does it mean that he got the VIP in person, good luck and goodbye, or is he still meant to be in your life?
No, I think it was just the universe. Like it was just the universe reminded me that I hadn't included him.
It was. That's what it was. Yeah. Wow.
Action points after this. Gonna continue having conversations with my mum and dad separately. And second of all, my husband is clearly moments away.
You're literally making space for that man.
Literally making all the space for that man.
Does he have a chair?
Why would you have to bring it to the chair at this point?
I feel like you're making mental space, Claire. You're not making physical space.
I actually got a DM about this, so I may as well read it. Do you want me to read it?
Yeah. Someone calling you out, I hope.
Potentially. Gabrielle got in touch with me on Instagram. Well, after I put a picture of the chair up, she said, thank you. I was waiting for the chair pick. It's a great chair, to be fair. Why not just move the chair to a different location with a different purpose? Rather than throwing the chair away, it would be similar to self-development, but for a chair. Does that make sense? Upcycling, essentially, in a spiritual way. Not too fond of the moustache cushion. You can get that. Should go to charity.
Thanks, Gabrielle.
So, how about that?
The chair needs action. Whether we're updoing the chair, we're putting the chair in on a Tony Robbins course, or we're getting a new chair. Something needs to be done.
Yeah.
So can you take action this week and next week on the final episode of Soul Sisters, which is very sad. We need a conclusion on the chair.
Okay.
Okay.
God, so much pressure for somebody so non-committal.
This season of Soul Sisters is brought to you with thanks to Colgate Max White Ultra, a toothpaste with clinically proven unique technology that actually does whiten your teeth in just 3 days, and it's safe for your enamel. In a recent survey of 2,000 people, almost a third say a lack of confidence in their smile is holding them back. We now have full confidence in our smiles with thanks to Colgate Max White Ultra. So Claire, we got that message from Niamh from Ballymaloe, who said she's bought her Colgate Max White Ultra. And I've been getting messages from people all over the world, from Sydney to New Zealand to Dubai, that are in their local stores looking for Colgate Max White Ultra. They're asking me to send them pictures of the branding. I've seen DMs that they've sent to Colgate looking for the toothpaste, looking for local suppliers. So I'm so happy to say that our message is being heard loud and clear for any soul sisters out there who may not be able to find the toothpaste if they're in, you know, the outback in Australia. Send us a DM. I have a few extra little boxes here and I might be able to send you one.
So don't hold back. Let Colgate Max White Ultra boost that confident smile of yours. Available in Dunnes and in all other major Irish retailers, subject to availability.
I've been sitting on this for a couple of weeks because it wasn't said to me with any sort of bad intention. And the reason that this particular comment was said to me was to give me a problem to help me grow, right? Because when we tippy toe around each other and we don't challenge each other, we actually don't grow.
Yeah.
So I, in hindsight now, weeks later, I'm really glad that this particular subject came up for me because I've been thinking about it and thinking about it and thinking about it. So I was in an interview for my book promo. One particular person said that, and now he wasn't saying this is what he thinks. He was saying from a kind of society point of view, do you think that the self-care and wellness world could be considered selfish? He said, it's very me, 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 isn't it? Now, when he said this, I was, you know, took a second to gather my thoughts because I could see where he was coming from. I kind of was shocked that it came up. But so in that moment, I was like, okay, how do I feel about this? Well, of course, I have felt selfish for missing Pia's bedtime or not dropping her to school one day because I'm in the gym, or, you know, missing bath time because I'm out with a friend, or just simply saying, Jamie, you do it. So I told him, I said, yeah, I felt selfish choosing myself over the greater good of my family from time to time. I've been there. I see where you're coming from. But I said, for example, I'm going to give you an example here. When I look after myself, other people look after themselves. So if I do the park run and then I go and I tell my mum about the park run and then she joins the park run and then she might be out for lunch with her friends and then she's talking about the park run and then they do the park run. And I said, we're all kind of just, you know, helping each other along. We're all lifting each other up. And actually, when we do that, when we have open conversations about our mental health as women or our, you know, physical health, we're actually lifting each other higher. And when I said that, he was like, oh yeah, I get what you mean. That makes sense to me because for so many years, the Irish mammy wouldn't go to the doctor with a pain because she's looking after the seven kids or making dinner and doing the washing. And, you know, she was the bottom of her to-do list. So we came to the conclusion at the end of the conversation that self-care is not selfish. But the other day, I was on Instagram and I was stopped in my tracks because, do you know Owlstock?
Yeah.
The fella from Galway who rode from New York to Galway, he's incredible. He's been on the Good Glow before because he attempted to summit Everest during COVID. And he's a friend of the show. I met him in person earlier this year. I love him. He's a former professional rugby player. He lives in Australia now. So he was on a podcast and the video of the podcast was on Instagram. And in it, he said, okay, the best way that I can describe self-development to you is imagine a piece of tissue and you're at the center of the tissue and your partner is at one end, one corner of the tissue, or you're, you know, whoever you're in a relationship with, or they could be your family, your kids. And then in the other corner of the tissue is your colleagues, you know, your work friends, your friends in life. That's where they hang out, at that corner of the tissue. And then at the other corner of the tissue is like people in your circle, people that you may not speak to every day, but people who are watching, like people on social media. They're not close to you, but they're there. He said, now imagine that in the center of the tissue is you. And there you are working on yourself. You are learning about the world. You're becoming curious. You're working on your self-awareness. You're becoming a better version of yourself. And now imagine that somebody pinches the middle of the tissue and lifts you higher because you're working on yourself and you're growing, you're getting bigger. And as the middle of the tissue is coming up, so are all the corners of the tissue. Mm. So by you working on your intentions, becoming a better version of yourself, all of your friends, all of your family, all of the people in your life are getting lifted through your intention. So he said, actually, the greatest work and the greatest gift that you can do in the world and give to the world mm-hmm. is working on you, because through your work, everyone else gets raised a little bit higher. And when he said that, I thought, that's way better than my park run example. But isn't that something to think about?
Yes.
And that's why I do the work, so that Pia gets lifted higher, so my mum, Jamie, my friends, my family, and we can all help each other grow.
Yes. Preach.
Ding, ding, ding. Get the bell there.
Ding, ding, ding. Sorry, Jerry, it's not you this week. It's old stock. So recommends this week for me is the Guelph poet on Instagram, the Guelph poet. And this was passed on to me by a soul sister, and you'll realize why. Because one of their poems goes like this. I climb into my bathtub the same way I fell in love with you. Dipping my toes in and then all at once, which is to say, I know nothing of slowness, which is to say, it doesn't feel right until I'm fully submerged. Ever. I climb into my bathtub the same way I'll keep loving you until my skin is wrinkled.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that nice?
That is so cool, Claire. Oh, we'll get you a bath someday.
Someday. They're still coming in the DMs.
Oh, I get stopped in the street about the bath. So what I'm recommending this week, my sister-in-law, Julie Crawford, has always been one of the coolest people I know. So Julie is Jamie's older sister, but they're kind of like twins growing up. They're that close. So getting Julie's approval when I moved into the Crawford, you know,
clan
was very important to me. Thankfully, we are absolute soul sisters, and she is like the sister I never had. Julie was working in advertising, like really high up job in advertising. And you'll love this, Claire. Her dream was to start her own interior design business. So she left the world of advertising, went off for 3 years, did this really, really intensive course, and has set up her own business.
Wow.
Now, when I was showing off our garden office, she designed that for us. So all of the interiors, because I was like, I want it to be a really like creative, cool space. And she came, measured it, got all the furniture, and it is such a gorgeous space. So I am doing up my living room because I'm bringing a baby home. I want to be chilled when I get that baby home to Ireland. So I rang Julie. I was like, Julie, you got to help me. I want the indoors of my house to be a reflection of the outdoors. So I want it to be naturey. Now, when I say the word brown to Jamie, he doesn't like it. So Julie has come to my rescue. Her business is called Nomad Design. I also love this about this business, right? So she started this because she wants to make interior design affordable for everyone. So, you know, when you think about getting an interior designer, you're like, I can't afford it. I can't afford to pay someone all of this money to like tell me what to get for my house. And then they'll give me a list of things that are just so expensive that I wouldn't be able to afford. So she set up a business where she's affordable, and then she gives you a shopping list and you basically collaborate with her so that it's an affordable project and you can create the space of your dreams.
Hang on a second. This is ideal.
I know.
I need help too, Julie. I need a chair.
I was like, this is the most genius idea for a business ever. So she says, our mission at Nomad, our mission is to make home design accessible to everyone, no matter what your budget, by empowering you to create a space you love.
Bring it.
So she was up, she was measuring, we've agreed between myself and Julie to call the word brown taupe in front of Jamie.
Well done.
See, a true soul sister. So I'll share little pictures of the before and after, because before, at the moment, my house is very, 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 very grey. And we need to move on from the grey.
And it needs to be taupe and dusty pink, obviously.
So nomaddesign.ie, I'll link her website in the show notes. If you're looking to do up your house, you don't have a massive budget, or maybe you do have a huge budget, she caters for all different budgets.
That's amazing. I'm going to get in touch with her, actually, because I feel at sea when I think about doing up my place.
Do you know what? Julie's really good at the chairs.
Is she?
Mm.
Fantastic. What she can do for me is she can give me the room plus the chair. You know, because yeah. I don't want to get the chair and then do the room.
Well, she does these 3D designs of your of your house. So she'll pick a chair that will actually fit in your house. I would go as far as saying chairs are her speciality.
Well, there you go. Nomad Design, I'm coming for you.
Okay, great. So you're off to the centre of London now.
I am. I'm trotting into work now for the next week, and then we've another bank holiday.
What for? What now?
This May, I must say, in the UK has been superb. And then you've a bank holiday the weekend after, and we're doing the mini marathon.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
That wouldn't be the word that I would use, but sure, look it.
I'm going to wear shorts. There, I said it. I'm going to wear shorts.
You're going to get those pins pumping the pavement. Woo!
And we'll have to go for like a little lunch or something afterwards.
We will. We absolutely will. And Soul Sister Swim. Soul Sister Swim happening on the Saturday before.
Yes. I've heard there's a lot of jellyfish knocking around. I need to get on to Guy O'Leary. Have you heard about the jellyfish?
No, I haven't. No.
Yeah. Okay. Right. I'm on it. I'll do some research.
Okay. So me and Georgie and the jellyfish will be down at Sandy Cove swimming on the 3rd, Saturday, the 3rd of June.
So many people have sent me messages after reading my book, From the Sea.
They've actually sent you a message while in the sea.
Like just when they get out.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
Two people who have always wanted to swim, read the book, got in the sea.
I love it. Well done to them. And if you fancy it, and if you want to be supported into the sea or pushed into the sea, I'm available for either. Saturday, yeah. The 3rd of June. We haven't decided the time yet, but keep an eye on the social medias and we'll let you know.
Okay, cool. We'll see you next week for the last episode
of this series of Soul Sisters.